Brock Purdy's San Francisco 49ers at 8-4. They lead Tampa Bay 28-0 as we get hour number two of NFL postgame on 102.5 The Game. The storyline locally in Nashville. Chad, describe for those that may have been napping what just happened over at Nissan Stadium between the Titans and Jaguars.
Well, what happened was a first-place AFC South Titans team went into their home venue today and played a Jacksonville Jags team that they had not lost to at home since 2013, and they promptly went out and laid an enormous egg at home and lost to the Jags and got blown out in the second half. And it ended with Trevor Lawrence telling all the Titans fans to go home.
You know,
not
it's bad.
Not a bright spot in the history of the Titans organization. A team, by the way.
This isn't Baker Mayfield. This is Trevor Lawrence.
A team that has owned Jacksonville, and Derrick Henry has full ownership of that team until today, because he had the fumble.
Until the second quarter.
Late second quarter. He got popped, by the way. He got drilled on that play. Coughs it up. Jags get it. They go down and score. Different game from there on out. Jags win. Titans are in a tailspin. They've lost three straight. That's what happened in Nissan Stadium today. We have thoughts. You have thoughts. Give us a call. 615-737-1025. We want to take this where you want to go. Your biggest reaction, your biggest problem with the Titans' performance, your thoughts on what happened this week with John Robinson getting fired midweek, midseason. Give us a call. 615-737-1025. And a huge thanks to Superbook Lounge at Landshark Bar and Grill, Margaritaville, and Two Rivers Ford, who's got in-stock inventory back right now. You can give them a call at 800-900-1000. And Renters Warehouse, book your free home rental price analysis today at renterswarehouse.com or give them a call, 615-398-9550.
Chad, this is a lost season for the Tennessee Titans. Lost season. We have enough evidence to say they're not winning a Super Bowl. So does Amy Adams Strunk. She didn't even go to nine. She said six, seven, maybe eight more games. That was her answer to Teresa Walker. Very likely, they're not winning a playoff game. They were in wild card playoff form today, by the way.
We kind of knew that after the first week, I feel like, too.
They went,
a lot of those.
Not really, though.
Because, we know more of it now.
Because the trend was they're banged up, they're playing well, they're not the number one seed, but they are beating – they're beating the teams they should. They're in position. They're getting a chance to get healthy. And, you know, who knows? Can they advance to the divisional round again? Can they draw the Jets at home? They're not going to. Here's the real thing. They went from the fourth best scoring offense in 2020, 30 points per game they were averaging 2 years ago with Arthur Smith. And they have regressed to 18.5 points per game as we sit here today. That's 26 in the league. There was a 9-game stretch where they had the best scoring defense in the league this season in 2022. I'm not even talking about last year's defense. Only one team has allowed more points over the last 2 weeks. Only three teams have allowed more over the last 3 weeks. So you've gone from a team that lost its identity on offense to now a team that doesn't even have one on any phase of the game. And let me tell you something. That's not a direct reflection of just the general manager. Because even through the injuries last year, which, by the way, the offense was bad last year with Todd Downing, with all the injuries. But it was just the injuries. You know, it was just the injuries. Defensively, they didn't let that be an excuse. Defensively, through the first stretch of this season, that wasn't the excuse. Jeffrey Simmons can stand at his locker, and more power to him, because Jeffrey Simmons, by the way, is not the problem, but he's also not a solution right now.
Yeah.
He is not a factor right now. Derrick Henry, a factor in the first quarter, but he contributed to the loss of the team that he normally dominates. The Titans had the ball up 14-10 today. 14-10. And Tannehill turned the football over. They went 14-10 turnover, and then they got the ball, and they went three and out without Henry touching the football. The turnovers are – it's an easy focus. And, look, you turn the football – they've turned the football over four times twice this season. The other game was the Bills. We know the final score there, too.
It wasn't pretty.
But the way Todd Downing called this game at points, that was really what wrecked them. The turnovers, of course, that was the car accident that we couldn't turn away from to start the first hour. But there is no rhythm or flow after we get to the heart of this game. And I think that's what we point to offensively. And quite frankly, the defense couldn't do anything. They shut down the run game with ETN. It looked like that was the focus. And then Trevor Lawrence, you say we had the caller that said Tannehill's not Patrick Mahomes. Lawrence was dealing like him today.
Well,
so is Brock Purdy, by the way.
Trevor Lawrence had a huge day. And I think, Hutton, you're hitting on something that is really the key part of this game, is not just the turnover by Derrick Henry, but the loss of identity on defense. Because over the last 3 weeks even, we've thought, hey, this is a team that's going to be challenged offensively. They want to run it with Henry, but they can't do that a lot of times. But they're always going to be really good on defense, and they're going to give you a chance because they're defense. Now, there's been a ton of injuries to that side of the ball. We all know that. But that's just not the case anymore with this team. They are not the same team defensively. And we saw that today big time. They could not get anything done with Trevor Lawrence in that passing
and
offense.
Today, my focus has been defense because, look, the offense, by the way, is going to suck next week too, right? The offense
against
is
the Chargers?
The offense is going to suck next week too. It's the defense that is going to win them games. This offense can't score 20-plus points, right? This is only the second time this defense has allowed more than 21. It's the defense and the lack of doing stupid bleep that Vrabel points to that wins them football games. So that's why you had a sense of hope going into the playoffs. If they draw Joe Burrow and the Cincinnati Bengals, you and I and everyone in Nashville would be picking them to lose, including Amy Adams Strunk. She told us that this week. But at least you go into that with a little sense of hope because, well, Vrabel's defense, Shane Bowen's defense, they come to play. They've got the dudes. And right now, those dudes, the ones that are left, are getting pushed around just like the Titans' offense has been all year, last 2 years, really. And that's the real glaring thing to me, that just a flashing light, is they don't have any aspect right now that they can point to and say, you know what? We're going to lean on this. And that's why when Paul asked the question postgame about Henry's trend of fumbling three times over the last two games, and he had the deer in the headlights look in the second half when he fumbled again, that's why Vrabel's response is, yeah, we look forward to giving him the football as much as possible next week.
615.
It's an echo chamber.
615-737-1025. 737-1025. Give us a call. Let us know what you think about the game. Here's the other thing, Hutton. I'm watching Jeffrey Simmons, and I'm seeing far too much of him in scuffles with other players and not really affecting the game as much.
Yeah,
that ankle injury has hurt him
and
put him back.
That's more than anything.
But he can talk about not being frustrated. I can see by his lack of production and also the way he's getting chippy with everyone that he is clearly frustrated.
But he gets chippy when he's dominant.
And rightfully so.
That's him. He's got to play like that. I don't mind that whatsoever. I wish the offensive line had a bit of that. They don't.
Dennis Daly is a disaster.
No, but the whole group. The whole group.
It's a disaster.
A lot of questions, no answers. And if there were answers, the Titans ownership wouldn't answer them from the media. Today, just the fifth 300-yard game of Trevor Lawrence's career.
2 years.
He had
a career high,
368 yards. And the second most completions of the dude's career came against the Tennessee Titans. Evan Engram, the second best day for his, not just for him, the second best tight end day for any tight end all season, Evan Engram of the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Just a quick aside also, for some reason I just always laugh when I see a head coach that has to wear readers when they're reading their play sheet.
Yes.
There's something about, like, Doug Peterson every time you cut to him. I mean, this is reality for everyone. Once you get past 40, you're going to eventually have readers. But I love when he's also part of the offensive play calling, when he's got the play sheet out with the readers on, while being the head coach. It's I both love it, it's endearing, and I hate it, and it's really funny at the same time, but I noticed that today with Peterson.
Chad, the other thing with the move and the timing, again, not necessarily against the move, it's the timing of the move that was so strange with Robinson this week. If you're not looking for distractions, behind the scenes, you don't necessarily have to make the move with the title of offensive coordinator. Again, don't drive off the road here. Point being, you now have the opportunity to say, you know what? What difference does it make now? Tim Kelly, let's see what you got. We already know that Vrabel asked to interview him when he was under contract with the Texans, and they denied access to him.
Yeah.
Whenever they originally wanted to chat with him prior to making the Todd Downing hire official when Arthur took the head coaching job in Atlanta. I don't know why they're not making a move there, because the offense, you can point to all of the injuries, it's not improving. And there's no rhythm. There is just no sense of, oh, this is who they are. And the plays, but what was it, three possession or two possession trail whenever they ran that Henry snap that was a low snap?
No, it was at that point it was 33-14.
Yeah, okay.
So they had to go down and score, okay.
But why are you snapping it direct? Like,
yeah, it was the end of the third quarter, start of the fourth quarter when that happened.
Yeah, like two possessions prior to that, they're getting booed for handing the football off.
Yeah.
It just makes zero sense to me.
No, none of it makes any sense other than he's good at the week of planning something where they can look okay and competent to start a game. And, but then once the game gets going, there's
and
nothing.
And he's not fumbling. He's not throwing picks. But in that moment, that play, even if he gets the football, what are you doing with it? Like, what's the point?
Yeah. Makes no sense.
Chad, around the league, some interesting numbers. You mentioned Mahomes and the crazy pass. We've all seen great throws from Mahomes. And the Houdini-like act that he pulled off today. It's no fault of Patrick Mahomes, but he's not the MVP. The Jalen Hurts numbers today for the Philadelphia Eagles, we've got those for you. We welcome your phone calls, 615-737-1025. Chad, we're ready to load up the lines. And if you want to jump the line, you can jump ahead of any score, any topic. We'll go to your phone calls.
You have 45 minutes left in the show. Want to take more of your calls. Had some good ones already. 737-1025. 737-1025. Things are getting interesting between the Chiefs and the Broncos, surprisingly. We'll have that score for you, plus your phone calls when we come back. 615-737-1025.
This is NFL Post Game on 102.5 The Game. The game from Outkick 360. I'm Jonathan Hutton with Chad Withrow. We got a blowout in the Bay Area, but Chad, things in Denver, interesting.
Shockingly, I think this was 21-0, maybe 27-0 at one point, and it's now 27-21 Chiefs leading the Broncos, 6:43 left in the third quarter. Broncos have the football also, so we'll keep a close eye on that game, but the Broncos making a move. They have it in their territory at their own 22, but it is 27-21. Broncos only trailing by six with under 6 minutes left in the third quarter. And you mentioned the blowout in the Bay. 49ers, 28. Tom Brady and the Bucks, nothing. Brock Purdy getting it done for the 49ers.
But Deebo Samuel may be done for the season. He was carted off the field in the first half. And that'll be one to watch because I think he touched the ball eight times in the first half and was carted off prior to going to the halftime break. Again, 27-21, KC over Denver. And then it's a three-point game in Seattle. Carolina leads 20-17. Right now, Geno Smith and the Seahawks with possession of the football. 615-737-1025, our number. Kenny the Mailman is
yes.
Next up, and he says he's got to let off some steam.
What's up,
Kenny?
Fellas, how are y'all doing?
Great to hear from you, man. Always
great
always
to hear
appreciate
your voice,
you
Kenny.
Thank you. Well, you know what? There is a lot of heat and a lot of negativity going on, but I was able to go to the game. Can I share with you one thing that
sure.
really was positive? Maybe it'll help y'all out just a little bit.
I'd love that. Yeah.
I was sitting. I got to have tickets in a suite, and I got to sit really with two pro scouts from the NBL, and it was a sort of eye-opening experience for me.
With who? Say that again.
The NBL, the Mexican Bullfighters League, and they are in love with Dennis Daly. His ability to evade the bull rush is absolutely amazing. He might wind up being a number one pick in their league.
Yeah, they haven't been in town since Wills Vitek played, Kenny.
So, Kenny, I'm convinced, honestly, on the one strip sack fumble of Tannehill that I could have at least made contact with Trayvon Walker on that play. I wouldn't have stopped him, but I think I could have laid a fingertip on him, and he did not touch him. He ran right around him after being chipped by Chigakonkwo on the play. It was remarkable.
Kenny, I'm going to be completely honest with you. I started Christmas shopping in the third quarter in the Titans press box.
Chad, a 190-pound kicker would have thrown a better block because he had the chip and threw himself into it, sort of got the guy sideways, and Daly just absolutely didn't even get close to him. It was like he didn't even know how to finish the playoff. But you know what? This is just sort of a symptom because there are so many players. 47, Adams looked like he was running around playing duck, duck, goose on a couple of plays. And I'm just stunned at the non-level of talent that is thrown in there. I know they're backups, and I know maybe we're expecting more out of them than we should, but when you throw that many out of them and they don't look that well coached anymore, it's like, well, what are we expecting? Well, listen, I'm going to go check out some more draft choices from the Mexican Bullfighters. We'll talk to y'all
later.
Yeah,
have at it. More power to you there. Christian McCaffrey, was this a catch or a run? Do we know? Run. Christian McCaffrey now has a score rushing and receiving, 34-0. San Francisco up over Tampa Bay. The boat race, it was already on. And this is adding insult to injury. And by the way, here's the stat. In the history of the league, a third-string quarterback starting the season in August, at the end of August, making the initial roster, a quarterback listed as number three has never gone on to win the Super Bowl. There have been third-string quarterbacks for Super Bowl-winning teams that played during the season, where either the first or second string came back and was eligible to play. But Brock Purdy, with the way that they threw the football last week, Chad, we were on postgame going, man, they're throwing it how much with this guy? Fresh off the bench because Garoppolo got hurt. They're doing the same here. They're running the offense. And, you know, the Trey Lance thing, that was one thing. But the thing about Shanahan was they wanted to get rid of Garoppolo. They had Purdy. That was also the thing that we overlooked. This guy,
I mean,
there is a confidence level with Shanahan. When you come off the bench and you continue to throw it more than what you would have with Garoppolo in the game plan, that's interesting.
It's incredible, though, because we give so much credit to Mike Vrabel, and rightfully so, for his ability to plug and play with defensive guys.
Irrelevant.
We're talking, you know, defensive backs coming in and playing, or Andrew Adams at safety, or other guys coming in along the defensive front to play. This is the quarterback position.
I know.
Kyle Shanahan is so good that he can bring in Mr. Irrelevant from Iowa State, Brock Purdy, who Peter King, for whatever reason, has a hard time understanding that people watch college football and the NFL. Because when he talks about it, he says, guys, you've never heard of him. He played at a school called Iowa State. They play college football in Ames, Iowa. I didn't know that. I'm thinking, no, we saw him in college. He was a really good player for Matt Campbell at Iowa State, but Mr. Irrelevant, he can plug him in as a third-string guy, and they can still roll right along.
And that's why we had faith, and it didn't work out. That's why we had faith in Trey Lance. Never heard of him either. We didn't watch him play. He played in as many games in 2020 as Dylan Raiden's did. One. But yet, whenever he's paired with Shanahan, it didn't matter in that draft. It was Mac Jones or Trey Lance. Paired with that guy, you would predict success. And when you see the way they're spinning it here, this is a team that I think when that injury happened, and look, Deebo Samuel's now out. They don't have the dual threat with McCaffrey and Deebo. It's a team that I would not want to go and face at home.
Yeah.
And right now they're going to be hosting one of those games early, and they're looking at a wild card berth with, you know, potentially they've got a team that's going to be losing, backdooring their way in. You know, by the way, Dallas today. The Dallas Cowboys somehow
got a
win out of the jaws of defeat against the Houston Texans.
They got a scare.
17-point underdogs, and they come back to win that game today. And the final score, 27-23. Bengals over the Browns, 23-10. Cincinnati led 13-3 at halftime. They came out and got a third-quarter touchdown that made it 20-3 in the third. Jamar Chase, 10 catches, 119 yards. He scored the first touchdown of the game. Deshaun Watson threw his first touchdown pass in 707 days to David Njoku. Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt, though, the storyline for them. They cannot run the football right now in Cleveland. And the Bengals pick up another win within the division. The Bills down the Jets 20-12. The defense had 9 quarterback hits, 18 pressures, 4 sacks. Mike White left the game twice. Rib injury, came back, another rib injury. Joe Flacco took over, immediately gave up the ball in a strip sack by Greg Rousseau.
Mike White.
He remained in the game for the ensuing possession. And then Mike White somehow returned to the field in the fourth quarter after being sidelined by that 2 separate occasions where he was hit. And, Warrior, you're right. They lost Mike White, Corey Davis, defensive tackle Quinnen Williams, and others today with the Jets due to injuries. And the Philadelphia Eagles, Chad, 48-22 the final over the Giants. Jalen Hurts, 21 for 31, 217 yards passing, 2 touchdown passes, by the way, to A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith. Miles Sanders, 17 carries, 144 yards and 2 touchdowns. Jalen Hurts adds another touchdown rushing. He's now gone a game where he sets their team runs, 360 yards as a team, and he had 160 of them against the Packers. Last week, he nearly passes for 400 yards against the Titans. And today, they spread it around to 9 different receivers and boat race the Giants. It wasn't even this close. They had some garbage touchdown points in the fourth quarter for New York. Again, final score 48-22. Not close.
Yeah, no, that's
statement.
I mean,
they continue
the
to just
Eagles
roll.
Are incredible and have been throughout the year.
So are the Detroit Lions right now. 31-23 the final.
Oh, we got Lions fans here. All right, sweet.
It's
they should be proud. Look, that's a team that under Dan Campbell has not given up. Last year, they looked better by the end of the year than the start. They should not have been that bad to start this year, but they've gotten better and better. Hutton, they were favored this week against the Vikings. What did we say? How are they favored?
I know.
Against this Vikings team with 2 losses coming in, and they showed why they were favored.
Yeah, and I didn't buy it. I thought the vibe, I'm like, there's no way I can bet against a 10-win team, right? Money line. And, again, the Lions. But here's why. The Vikings have allowed 400 or more yards of total offense in 5 straight games. So it really doesn't matter what their offense is doing. The Vikings are allowing teams to put up massive numbers. They're basically what the Lions were through the first 6 weeks of the season defensively. They've turned into that. And I saw this stat. The Detroit Lions, they've allowed the most points in the NFL. They're also the only NFC North team that has scored more points than they've allowed. Their offense is even better than the defense that's allowed the most points in the NFL.
Crazy. Crazy. Phone lines are open. If you want to jump in, let's react to that Titans loss to the Jags. 615-737-1025. We are live at Superbook Lounge at Landshark Bar and Grill, Margaritaville on Broadway. Big thanks to our sponsors, Two Rivers Ford. In-stock inventory is back. F-150s, Explorers, Edges, Escapes. They've been doing business the right way for almost 40 years. They treat their customers like family. Give them a call, 800-900-1000. And Renters Warehouse, book your free home rental price analysis today at renterswarehouse.com or call them 615-398-9550.
Chad, when we come back, Tim is on the line. He's calling in from your Mount Juliet and his.
Perfect.
And he wants to discuss your Philly take. We will do that, and we will get more of your reaction, more of your takes.
Can't wait for
analysis, your hate. And if you can find some love about this Titans team, we'd love to hear it. 615-737-1025. It's NFL postgame on 102.5 The Game. postgame with Outkick 360. I'm Jonathan Hutt alongside Chad Withrow, Superbook Lounge at Landshark Bar and Grill. That's our location. Yes, where is that? Broadway, Margaritaville, second floor. And when we say it's the Sportsbook Lounge, we've got all the TVs on. We've got Sunday
Huge
Night Football
TVs.
Tonight. We've got the afternoon games going on and much more. Big thanks to Renter's Warehouse, Two Rivers Ford, and Superbook Sports. And also, big thanks to Michelle Knezovic, Junie Riddle for sending in the interviews and audio from the Titans locker room postgame. And always making it happen for us, Kenny Adams and Ladarius Robinson. They flat out get it done with us postgame for Titans games here on 102.5 The Game. Let's go to the phones. And, Chad, we say hello to Tim from Mount Juliet.
Going
What's up,
to my
Tim?
Neck of the woods in Mount Juliet. Hey, Tim.
Gentlemen, how are you?
Great.
What's up?
So I have not watched a minute of football today, but I did
Lucky
hear
you.
The Titans score, and I did hear your take on the MVP. So first off, shout out. I'm literally looking at Two Rivers Ford. That's where I get my oil change, y'all, so go in and get your oil change there. But
great
getting ready
spot.
To go watch the Chiefs game here. I see they just scored a big old touchdown. And Chiefs have the toughest schedule going into the year, even though their conference doesn't look quite as good as it is expected. The Eagles have the toughest conference, no doubt. The Eagles' defense is better. They have a better running back. How is Jalen Hurts the MVP if Mahomes has, I would say, the same total yards in offense, but more touchdowns, less interceptions on average? Go ahead, go.
It's not that hard. I mean, he has the moments. And it's nothing – look, it is nothing, Chad. We discussed this last week, this week, and I'm not against Mahomes winning it. It's not about as much as Mahomes losing it as it is Hurts taking advantage of – consider where was the perception in August of Jalen Hurts. The perception was this is a prove-it year, and he has done nothing but lead this team. Even in poor performances, when he had the ball late, you could go to the Indianapolis Colts game, the guy has stepped up and gone and made a drive to win 17-16 or whatever the final score was there. And it's nothing that Patrick Mahomes has done bad. It is what Hurts has done to lift the Philadelphia Eagles to the next level.
So this is, you're absolutely right in that in no way is this anti-Patrick Mahomes when you're talking about it.
Yeah.
And it's also hilarious to me that suddenly it's, oh, well, Jalen Hurts has this great supporting cast, and that's, come on. Jalen Hurts was under fire coming into this year. They made some additions. But it's a one-year, right? It's the one offseason addition. A.J. Brown.
Yes.
Devontae Smith was drafted in the first round. I understand all that. Dallas Goedert was there. But he has taken that offense and elevated them beyond where I thought they were going quickly. I knew they had a chance to be great. I didn't think they were going to be this good this quick. So it's the Eagles with only one loss, best record in the NFL. It is Jalen Hurts' MVP award to lose at this point. I'm with you, Hutton. I truly believe that.
Well, and I think it's down to him and Mahomes now. You know, Allen really fell off during that three-game stretch.
Yeah.
And
also, here's the other thing with him. It's not – the weather's not going to be in his favor anymore.
And yeah, you're right.
So it's one of those where his stats have probably been – it's been padded to a point where it's not going to get a lot better.
And the Eagles are the talk of the league, right? I mean, that's the other thing that helps him here. And he's now had a stretch run where – he is taking advantage of either the marquee matchups or the schedule. And here's the other thing, which is just true. He will have more eyeballs on him than any game Patrick Mahomes has played this season whenever the Eagles play the Cowboys on Christmas Eve. That's the night he will win MVP.
Yeah. You pointed to that night for a while. That game, I mean, against the Cowboys.
If they win, if he continues this, what he's doing, that's the game when he seals it, and that will be the headline the following week.
It's a huge one. By the way,
Hurts has done what he needs to do.
49ers now lead 35-0 over Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Bucs.
McCaffrey.
Crazy.
McCaffrey getting it done.
Huge. Chiefs now up 34-21 on Nathaniel Hackett, a one-and-done coach for the Broncos. 14-19 left in that game. Panthers, one game we've not talked a lot about, lead the Seahawks 20-17. Sam Darnold has had a pretty good game for the Panthers. Geno Smith trying to rally right now, but it's Panthers 20, Seahawks 17 as they near the end of the third quarter in that one.
Chad, this team, the Titans, wildly inconsistent throughout. First down offense from Kansas City through last week, 7.25 yards per play. That leads the NFL for weeks 9 through 13. Weeks 1 through 8, they ranked 29th in that same category, yards per play. So they fixed a weakness, and they did a number of really nice things on first down. Now, again, some of that counts for Malik Willis in. They weren't trying to throw the football, whatever. But they hit a big plays even on first down recently. You know, they had three plays of 20-plus yards on first downs through those games. Today they were terrible again. And so the question is, why the inconsistency? Opening drives of the game. You pointed to this earlier today. Touchdown, great drive, balance, mix, beautiful designs. They're getting the ball. They're targeting. They made an emphasis on Nick Westbrook-Ikhine. But early on, too, I mean, I think three of the first four plays were to NWI. They got Robert Woods involved. Where was he in the second half? Woods had like four catches early in the second quarter. They scored on their first possession in the first four games of the season. All great drives. Then they didn't score on a touchdown in the opening drive of a game until Green Bay. I mean, just really up and down throughout. Last week they went three and out. They gained just 1 yard against Cincinnati. They had two first downs and they punted. So they have been very good to start games. But at the same time, they've also been wildly inconsistent with these gaps. And there's nothing really to point to that's definitive about where they're really good and where they're not. But here's where you brought up the first half, second half comparisons. Derrick Henry, 800 yards in the first half compared to 398 yards in the second half on the ground.
It was crazy to see the difference, but also it was really that turnover, that fumble right before the half where they went down and scored. By the way, great catch by Zay Jones before the half for Jacksonville. We should point that out. That put the Jags up at that point 20-14 at the half. But the Titans could not get anything going. Jacksonville goes down and scores to start the third quarter. Mm-hmm. Titans have 2-3 and outs, and that's it offensively in the second half. Hutton, I don't understand it, how Derrick Henry can look like a different player in the second half. And Derrick Henry was making most of that happen on his own. I don't think that was great offensive line play. One of his two huge runs was a run play designed to the left where he cuts back and goes right for a big game. I don't know that it was the offensive line playing great in those moments, but he was making something happen, could not do it in the second half.
Let's go to Brian from right here in Music City. What's up, Brian? Thanks for calling.
Thanks, guys. First of all, it doesn't help the Titans that they've got so much of their money locked up in an offensive lineman that hasn't played a down.
No doubt.
And a defensive lineman that, bless his heart, got hurt preseason after his new contract. That doesn't help. But the question I wanted to ask you guys have been around this team for quite a while now, in and around the media part of it. If the stadium, the new stadium deal is not yet passed through council, how does this, as you call them, introverted front office sell this team now? Or if it is, if it's a done deal, as many think it is, how do the Titans, a historically fan-adverse organization, sell this team now to potential PSL owners? And I'll let y'all hang up and listen to you guys. Yeah.
Thank you, Brian. I understand your question. I don't think it's that difficult to answer. Amy Adams Strunk has had very few poor moments. This past week, I thought, was one of them, with how it was handled. Not the decision, but how things were handled. This past week missed a Steve Underwood presence. If your ownership isn't going to speak, and they don't have to, they're the owner, they make the rules. No one in that organization wants to speak right now, period. And this past week, and this is fair, missed a Steve Underwood Titans team president moment. So Mike Vrabel didn't have to get up there and, you know, act like he wanted to move on to Jacksonville and talk about the defensive back that they just signed on a random Tuesday in week 14. I mean, that just, it wasn't good. But, Brian, let's look to the hires and decisions that Amy has made since she's been the controlling over the last 8 years. It's not hard to see like where we're headed with all of this. It's not hard to see where she is viewed within the eyes of the NFL. And it's also not difficult to understand what a dome would mean to Nashville compared to the events that are hosted there more right now than ever outside compared to a year-round venue. It sells itself. And there's a reason why the ratings for some awful, awful Thursday night football games on Fox. Chad and I know this firsthand, and they make it known publicly. It's hard to really understand what Amazon's doing. But through Fox, they're averaging 12 to 14 million viewers on Thursday night football bad games. It's not a tough sell. If this were a different sport, it would be a tough sell.
Also,
the new stadium's not.
If it were a different city, it would be a tough sell. And I've criticized the Titans fan base at times. It's not the biggest or the best in the NFL. But in this market, with so much money, especially an influx of money coming in from other states right now, it is not a difficult sell when you're talking about shrinking the size of your stadium. Mm-hmm. Nissan Stadium has, close to 70,000-seat capacity. They're shrinking that, making it a nicer stadium that's going to be indoor. I don't think it's going to be a tough sell to get businesses and fans to invest with tickets to games. So all of that, the economics of it, Amy Adams Strunk decisions so far, maybe other than this week. I think all that makes it a very easy sell for this team.
Well, and the decision, Chad, it's not about that she fired John Robinson. It's just that this week was just a very un-Titans-like week. We've been with this organization and covering this organization in some capacity, in your case, 2004, for me, 2005. And we've been through some really lulls, really large lulls. This felt more like the past this week than the present. And the present is, they will figure out a way to have a next guy up, next man up mantra, and they will have a guy step up and win. Man, that'd be pretty. You know, I walked in today, and Junie was like, man, this just feels like it's going to be an ugly football game. I said, Junie, this is Titans football. This is every week. It doesn't matter in my opinion, it didn't matter that John Robinson was fired this week. It's always going to be this cloudy, muddy game. But now you're answering more questions about where the direction they're headed, to Brian's point, than you are, how do they just go win a football game?
Yeah.
And this is, in Vrabel's world, in Robinson's world, it is football only. Upstairs, downstairs, before they built the new addition, if there's a split, there's football downstairs, and upstairs you've got your management, but you have your broadcast, you have your social media departments, online departments. Downstairs, football. This week wasn't about football. This week, specifically, like the next game. The discussion was more about what was going on behind the scenes and what really happened, because no one had heard anything. And for all the questions that we were discussing, imagine what the players were hearing from their families. If they're going out, they're hanging out with their kids, whatever it might be. They're getting those same questions. They don't know what to answer. They didn't know what was going on. Very interesting timing. That's the only thing I disagree with. 615-737-1045, 1025 or number. Hey, and by the way, if you're going to do it, get in front of a podium and make an announcement about what you're doing.
And answer questions.
And if you're sending Vrabel out there, prep him on what to say, what he can and can't. I don't think he knew exactly how to answer certain questions. It was very frustrating. And now it's about winning games, and this is also frustrating, Chad. Because before the firing, what would we have said about the playoffs?
It's going to happen.
And you said to open the show today.
I don't know that it's going to happen.
Exactly.
Not after today. But also, it's not just the firing. It's the way it was handled in the aftermath. With not having a plan on how to communicate what was going on. Amy Adams Strunk doesn't meet with the media, sends Mike Vrabel to meet with the media, and then does a one-on-one interview with Teresa Walker after the fact that didn't really answer a lot of the questions.
But answered some of them, but yes, you're right.
All of them.
No.
So just a weird time for
the Titans. Hit us up, 615-737-1025, our number. And, Chad, when we come back, final scoreboards from around the league. afternoon games are going to go final after we're off the air. The fourth quarter, though, underway. And for what were blowouts, we've got some tight window games here.
It's getting closer in the afternoon games. And one that I thought might be a blowout is not between the Seahawks and the Panthers.
This is NFL Postgame presented by Renters Warehouse, Two Rivers Ford. We are live from the Superbook Sports Lounge here in Margaritaville on Broadway, second floor. You can join us. Chad, you said we're live after the Chargers game, right?
Hey, we've got great food and drink specials here at Superbook Lounge at Landshark Bar and Grill, Margaritaville. $3 off any appetizer in the bar area. $20 special price buckets on Landshark, Bud Light, and Mick Ultra. And a huge thanks to our partners at Renter's Warehouse and Two Rivers Ford.
This is NFL Postgame on 102.5 The Game. Jacksonville Jaguars scored on three consecutive drives of 78, 72, and 63 yards. The Titans had a three and out, had a bad penalty, and a sack. Followed that up with another punt and then a fumble. All of that happened after they had two great drives and scored 14 quick points. And Chad, you mentioned this earlier about the first half, second half, Henry dominance. And today was the first quarter. Titans ranked ninth in scoring in the first half with the script. The script today, 96 yards rushing for Henry.
Yeah.
The best first quarter of his career. And ninth in scoring in the first half, they averaged just over 13 points per first half. Second half, they averaged 5.4, 31st in the NFL. Henry leads the league in first half yardage, 800 exactly now, 398 in the second half. He was a volume back. He was known as a second-half back. In 2019 and 2020, Henry led the league over 2,000 second-half yards. I left out last year because he's hurt for the final nine games of the regular season. But, I mean, suddenly he's now just a first-half back? What's up with that?
It's shocking to see the change, you know, offensively, but also the change with Derrick Henry. I don't get it, but that whole second half was just totally thrown off because of negative yardage plays.
Yep.
They went backwards. They had six plays. They went backwards in the third quarter. Jaguars marching, going against the script defensively and against identity. Jags go right down and score to start the second half when they get the opening kickoff. Threw the Titans off balance. They go backwards. There was never a really good chance to get Derrick Henry going. From that point on, from that fumble forward late in the second quarter where Jacksonville goes down and scores, I just don't think it was a great opportunity for Derrick Henry to get anything going that second half. It felt desperate. That's the sad thing about this Titans team. When the Jags scored, it was one touchdown to start the second half, and they're up by two scores. It felt over. It felt over. It felt like Titans were in desperation mode at that point because they can't do anything offensively.
But we still saw the start. The start was the Jags had two big penalties on the first drive of the game. Titans went down. They got to the red zone, got to the 19. And you're thinking, okay, they've had some red zone struggles. Can they punch it in? They did with Henry. And you're like, oh, this is a great answer. This is a nice script. But you're right. The Jags ended up closing the door because the Titans left it cracked just a bit. Some scores from around the league as we
Denver's making it interesting.
Yeah, so it's what? 34-28 with 8:41 remaining.
Broncos
in the fourth.
Receiving a punt right now and almost muffed a punt but did not. They're going to get the ball inside their own 10-yard line, down six, 8:33 left in the game.
It was 27-14 at halftime. The Broncos have outscored the Chiefs 14-7, including 7-0 in this fourth quarter. They're getting the ball back, and it's 34-28 right now. Chiefs with the lead, Denver with the football. Panthers leading the Seahawks 20-17. And, man, believe it or not, the Buccaneers have actually scored in this game. It's 35-7. 49ers winning this game, 35-7. With how much time is left in this game? Third quarter, 2:48.
Hutton, this would be as shocking of an outcome that I've seen this year in the NFL if Denver goes down and scores and wins against Kansas City. After trailing 27-0 at one point, It is 34-28, and the Broncos have the ball with a chance to go down and take the lead.
How'd the Vols do today?
Tennessee ended up holding on against Maryland, neutral court game in Brooklyn. They were up 34-13 at halftime. Held Maryland to 13 points at halftime. They're without Josiah Jordan-James and Jonas Adu, two of their best players, and they held on for dear life and won 56-53. Ended up winning by 3 points. Maryland had a three at the buzzer. Did not connect, so Tennessee gets a nice neutral court win in a game where it was ugly, and it was really ugly in the second half for Tennessee, but they held on.
Big thanks to all of our callers, by the way. Thanks to the entire staff at 102.5 The Game, 94.9 The Fan, including Michelle Knezovic and Junie Riddle, who help us out with some locker room sound and interviews. They do a tremendous job. Kenny Adams for making the show happen for us back at the studio. And Ladarius Robinson, who gets it done for us engineering
on site.
Always, Superbook Sports Lounge here at Landshark Bar and Grill. Margaritaville, second floor Margaritaville on Broadway. You can join us. Chad, we've got two shows left. We've got next week, we've got the Titans-Chargers matchup.
Yep. We will have a 7 to 9 p.m. show.
Okay.
That game is late afternoon next week.
And then we have the final home game of the season, correct? Yes, we do. Final game of the season?
I think we
it's a road game again?
We have two shows left. Next week and final week of the season in Jacksonville.
Cool. Renters Warehouse, Two Rivers Ford. We certainly thank them for making it happen. Chad, the Titans left Philadelphia with a crossroads moment. They enter week 15 now in the crosshairs. That's how you describe this. Because they have now entered this challenge week where their mantra is now on the line. And Vrabel, I think, enters a stretch run of the biggest challenge of his career, coaching career here. I don't think it's something that's insurmountable. But, man, has it caused a disruption and an unnecessary one based on the way it was handled and the questions that were asked to people that could not answer those questions this week. A very unlike Titans organization move based on that.
It was a very un-Titans-like week that ended in a very un-Mike Vrabel-like performance
and,
for this team at home.
Yes, and the joke goes, they were in wild card weekend mode today at Nissan Stadium against Jacksonville. Coming up, ESPN Radio, enjoy the NFL fourth quarters that are going on. Enjoy Sunday Night Football as well. We are back at it with you next week for NFL postgame on 102.5 The Game.